She was like a cat. She came and went secretly, and she learned all that Sigrid could teach her about herbs and their uses. Bindweed as a purgative, toad flax for ulcers, marsh marigold to keep elves away from the milk pails, chickweed for coughs, cornflower for fevers, and she learned other spells she would not tell me, women's spells, and said that if you stayed silent in the night, unmoving, scarce breathing, the spirits would come. And Raven taught her how to dream with the gods, which meant drinking ale in which pounded red cap mushrooms had been steeped. And she was often ill, for she drank it too strong, but she would not stop. And she made her first songs then, songs about birds and about beasts. And Raven said she was a true scald. Some nights when we watched the charcoal burn, she would recite to me, her voice soft and rhythmic. She had a dog now that followed her everywhere. She had found him in Lundane on our homeward journey, and he was black and white, as clever as Breeder herself, and she called him Neatgenger, which means nightwalker or goblin. He would sit with us by the charcoal pyre, and I swear he listened to her songs. Breeder made pipes from straw and played melancholy tunes, and Neatgenger would watch her with big sad eyes until the music overcame him, and then he would raise his muzzle and howl. And we would both laugh, and Neatgenger would be offended, and Breeder would have to pet him back to happiness. We forgot the war until when the summer was at its height and a pall of heat lay over the hills, we had an unexpected visitor. Earl Guthrum the Unlucky came to our remote valley. He came with 20 horsemen, all dressed in black, and he bowed respectfully to Sigrid, who chided him for not sending warning. "I would have made a feast," she said. "I brought food," Guthrum said, pointing to some pack horses. "I did not want to empty your stores." He had come from distant Lundane, wanting to talk with Ragnar and Ravin, and Ragnar invited me to sit with them because, he said, I knew more than most men about Wessex, and Wessex was what Guthrum wished to talk about, though my contribution was small. I described Alfred, described his piety, and warned Guthrum that though the West Saxon king was not an impressive man to look at, he was undeniably clever. Guthrum shrugged at that. "Cleverness is overrated," he said gloomily. "Clever doesn't win battles." "Stupidity loses them," Raven put in. "Like dividing the army when we fought outside Ebandunna." Guthrum scowled, but decided not to pick a fight with Raven, and instead asked Ragnar's advice on how to defeat the West Saxons, and demanded Ragnar's assurance that come the new year, Ragnar would bring his men to Lundane and join the next assault.
"If it is next year," Guthrum said gloomily.
He scratched at the back of his neck, jiggling his mother's gold-tipped bone that still hung from his hair.
"We may not have sufficient men."
"Then we will attack the year after," Ragnar said.
"Or the one after that," Guthrum said, then frowned. "But how do we finish the pious bastard?"
"Split his forces," Ragnar said, "because otherwise we'll always be outnumbered."
"Always outnumbered?"
Guthrum looked dubious at that assertion.
"When we fought here," Ragnar said, "some Northumbrians decided not to fight us, and they took refuge in Mercia.
When we fought in Mercia and East Anglia, the same thing happened, and men fled from us to find sanctuary in Wessex. But when we fight in Wessex, they have nowhere to go. No place is safe for them. So they must fight, all of them. Fight in Wessex, and the enemy is cornered."
"And a cornered enemy," Raven put in, "is dangerous."
"Split them," Guthrum said pensively, ignoring Raven again.
"Ships on the south coast," Ragnar suggested, "an army on the Thames, and British warriors coming from Brüchenjog, Glüssing, and Gwent.